$1 million, or 16%, went to Asian Pacific-owned businesses. $286.1 million, or 33.3%, went to Hispanic-owned businesses. $292.1 million, or 34%, went to women-owned Caucasian businesses. And across all the MWB ethnicities, $348 million, or 40.5%, went to women-owned businesses.
So, Gustavo, the differences between those overarching numbers that you mentioned and what this slide seems to have slightly different numbers and percentages, are they just the most up-to-date?
So these are the most up.
So these run through December of 2012, because you gave us through what date?
These are through December of 2012.
There seems to be a little difference with what's up there.
Let's see. Oh, the numbers I'm giving you are from 2007 through 2012. This counts from 2008 through 2000. We're moving 5 years at a time. So
I
there's
see.
Yes, a slight difference. That explains the difference, but 2007 versus 2008.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention, Christine. Let's see. Has been a very busy year for everyone at the Tollway, including its diversity department. We participated in more than 155 meetings, including focus groups, advocacy agencies outreach events, and one-on-one meetings to obtain direct feedback and provide assistance and information on Tollway projects. Hosted and co-hosted, including the first workforce focus event with close to 500 individuals attending the 2012 Road Work Ahead Construction Careers Expo. We increase our contract opportunities by collaborating with multiple stakeholders and contract unbundling. More than 1,200 construction bid notifications were sent in 2012 to advocacy groups to increase awareness and promote potential bidders. We also revised the 2012 DVE special provision document to include clear trucking credit language, adjusted supply credit, a sanctions provision for DVE non-compliance, which now includes an appeal process, and acceptance of Cook County's MBEWB certification. In 2012, our technical assistance efforts included the first ever tollway webinar, Construction Contracts 101, and several tollway hosted Are You Ready to Bid? Customized sessions with DMWB firms detailing the requirements to bid on specific unbundled contracts. Regarding their Earned Credit Program and its advisory council, the council now includes 9 new members covering more communities and constituencies served by the tollway. We have increased competition on recent bids, renewing interest in the ECP. Since 2007, the Earned Credit Program has cost $356,999 in bid credits. But we can compare this to the more than 100 ECP candidates who have collectively earned over $6 million in construction careers. Currently, 20 firms hold active certificates valued at over $1.3 million. Later this year, the Tollway will announce partnerships with other state agencies to provide consulting services, educational resources, and other kinds of assistance to help small and diverse businesses strengthen their capacity. We're also writing an RFP for future services to continue assisting diverse businesses by having local communities provide workshops and training to help DVE and small businesses expand their capacity. We will continue to identify, promote, and bid projects right for unbundling. The Diversity Department also intends to move ahead and announce a small business initiative early this year. This initiative, race and gender neutral, will encourage more diverse businesses' participation, as well as other small Illinois businesses looking for an opportunity to do tollway work.
So this is something that we plan to bring to the board, probably at the committee level first, next month, to discuss the details and get some feedback on. But this is the small business program that we've been talking about now for several months that Gustavo's team and legal have finally come to. Right, almost cooked.
Yeah, it's almost cooked. It's a little raw still.
Right.
But we're almost there.
Is that what the RFP is?
No, the RFP is for technical assistance.
Could you talk just one second about what What kinds of groups are you looking for that are going to do the technical
support? So we're looking for strategic partners on our network of tollways to be able to provide technical assistance, similar to the assistance we are seeking to engage with the Illinois Community College Board and DCEO. But now it will be more on a direct basis with community agencies and similar kinds to provide the same kind of assistance in terms of assisting businesses with their actual administrative needs, with their specific needs for bidding on tollway, maybe other projects as well, you know, IDOT projects as well, assisting them with being able to, during the life of the project, any needs that they may have, if they're encountering problems during the life of the construction contract, that they may be able to come back to these resources and seek additional help to make sure that the contracts that they're involved with, be it at a prime or a sub-level, are being as successful as they can be.
So you envision things like the local chamber of commerce, is that, or?
We will definitely encourage everyone available to provide potential technical assistance.
We're also looking for particular geographic coverage. So with the IGA, it's kind of the foundational relationships that we put in place. We have particular, you know, geographic coverage, and so we'll be looking to kind of fill in also on the geography of you know, where the partners are. But they could be community colleges, again, additional community colleges. They could be chambers of commerce or other stakeholder or assistance agencies. But we thought it would be good to kind of create some competition around this work and see if there are any good ideas that people bring to the table for us.
Sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
Thank you. The diversity management and tracking software we're seeking to buy will allow the tollway to measure results of all the tollway's diversity efforts. Also, the tollway continues to work with the Illinois Finance Authority and the Chicago Community Loan Fund to provide small contractors with backing and financial support for bonding or financial assistance necessary to compete for construction contracts. This initiative will be formally announced by the Finance Authority later this year. We're also seeking to accommodate an increase in the contract threshold for performance bond, as it may be approved in state law. Mike Kolsch will tell you more about that later. Similarly, our collaboration with IDOT and other state agencies continues to grow stronger in several fronts. Events co-hosted by these agencies will increase in 2013 to include winning with the state and a significant role for the tollway and IDOT's Today's Challenges, Tomorrow Rewards annual conference.
So now a little bit more about the community
hiring. Now we get into the community hiring. Like the Illinois tollway, the transportation agencies from coast to coast are being called to do more to provide opportunities for local workers to participate in construction projects. On the East Coast, the city of Baltimore now includes local hiring incentive provisions in its contracts. Baltimore reimburses primes and subs for hiring local workers that are identified by a referring agency. On the West Coast, the Bay Area Transit in San Francisco has done the same. BART's program establishes local hiring goals in an agreement between the agency and trade unions, and the program is monitored by a joint advisory committee. After reviewing what others are doing, we have put together a pilot program for your consideration. The community hiring initiative we are proposing is intended to encourage contractors to hire workers with construction skills living in the vicinity of Move Illinois projects. It will be voluntary and open to prime contractors as well as subcontractors. Contractors opting to hire local residents will be reimbursed for a portion of the hourly wages, $10 per hour work, paid to eligible employees. The initiative will be race, gender, and trade neutral. Local workers will be eligible to participate if they live in an area defined by the following criteria: proximity to the project based on zip code, communities with high rates of unemployment or underemployment, communities where poverty rates are high, and communities that have low, medium household income. We propose beginning this initiative with a pilot program focusing on the Tri-State Tollway 294 I-57 interchange project as communities in this area meet the criteria we have set out. The pilot program would be deployed in coordination with already existing employment resources and programs offered by the Illinois Department of Employment Security and local community agencies. We would expect that current as well as upcoming construction work contracts will be made eligible for this pilot program. Based on the outcome, we would consider expanding the local hiring incentive to other construction projects as part of the Move Illinois program. We have included this slide to provide the big picture view of the area around the 294-57 interchange. This shows local communities as well as boundaries for zip codes in a 4 to 10 mile radius around the project. We will determine what eligibility will be in this general area based on the criteria previously outlined. Thank you, and we now welcome your questions.
Any questions from 6041 more?
It's great that we're going to be looking at you hire within the community where these projects are being done. I think the mayor of Aurora, I don't know if he's applied for COP grants like we have in the city of Chicago Heights from the federal government, where we get grant money to hire veterans to become police officers, but there's also where we have to keep them employed after 3 years after that grant runs out as well, but the commitment that we have to make. Would we be looking at a commitment from these contractors that they also keep these employees employed, not just for one project and that's it, and then they get laid off?
I think that's, as you heard, the director of the Chicago Women in Trade, these kinds of programs are measured by, among other things, the level of retention that you're able to accomplish after a period of time. And definitely that will be one of the things that we'll be exploring to ensure that these are not just, you know, a one-shot kind of thing and then the person is unemployed again and, you know, hoping for
something. You wouldn't want it to make it look like it's just a temporary employment service then.
Right, exactly.
Feeling that somehow we would rescind the stipend if we weren't employed for a certain period of time.
And that's how it works.
I just don't know how.
I guess you're in the early stages, but I know that there should be some kind of commitment for continuing employment besides just the project that you're getting hired for.
Versus just measuring to see how many are continuing to employ. We want something more than that. I just don't know how many contractors will take advantage of something like that. But we can certainly
definitely
try. If that's the deterrent, then we know that that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, we were focused at the beginning trying to make this connection. We recognize that connection doesn't exist right now between the local areas and the actual jobs being done in those local areas, but.
Maybe you can do the flip and make it an incentive so that if you're successful in retention, you get points the way you do on earned credit as you're bidding for future projects, if there's not a way of penalizing people. And we should think about how to do that. We should also think about what the federal government does.
Let's think about it. I think the incentive idea is probably a better one than that.
Well, let's see what we can come up with, but the point is well taken.
Well, if I might on the issue, of course, I don't represent contracts, we represent my numbers, but I'll tell you that you know, one of the things that occurs with multiple agencies doing community hiring programs is you end up discriminating against the employees that were hired under the last community hiring program. For instance, the Chicago Transit Authority has got the Red Line project coming up. It's got a community hiring provision in there. It's very strict to that community, about 30%. Now, the craft foreman that will be running that job is an African-American operating engineer who grew up in Inglewood, but now lives in Country Club Hill, who doesn't qualify for that. Okay, and now what happens with that same contractor, if he did some of this work, this individual wouldn't be qualified. So if you want to have, you know, some sort of commitment for employment, it can't be then, you can't also have and drill down and say that in every community you have to take people from, because it just doesn't work then. You're putting the contractor in a no-win situation.
Well,
I don't usually find myself the friend of the conversation, but I have to speak in this situation that's the problem. You almost need to, as multiple agencies, look at it 20,000 feet and say, for the region, this is how we have to do it. That's the best way, because then you get long-term employment, long-term commitment from employers to keep those people, because these are short-term jobs and the industry is transient. You need to have the ability to say, I can move this guy in any community, in any, you know, as long as you're making your overall goals for the region on commitments to minority hiring. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, with the contractors and IDOT, for instance, who have just started an initiative to do a pre-apprenticeship program. I want to be careful what I say so I don't get in trouble with the Department of Labor, but this is what it is to train young men and women coming out of communities where they have a disadvantage and get them prepped for the apprenticeship program. I know it's been talked about before, but this time it's a $12 million grant from IDOT. It's working for the first time really with the trades to say this is what we need them to do to be able to pass the test to get in the program. We have to do a hands-off when you come into the apprenticeship program. But if they're given the chance to say, hey, listen, this is what you got to do, okay, get ready for it, that's where we see the success. And we've seen it in little spots here and there, but when it's never been done at this large a scale. I think the grant just went in. Christy, if you check with IDOT, it's, I think it's going to be something you might want to somehow tie on to if you want to get a real impact in the area where the tollway is working, what IDOT, which is working with the CTA, to try to do that.
Yeah, I remember when I was at the Department of Commerce and in the governor's office, there were programs that were funded that did similar things or partnered with the Cook County Building Trades, for instance, or other organizations. So it'll be interesting to see how you know, the outcome of it.
Because well, this is just the operators and the laborers at this instance. You know, yeah. You try to bring too many people in, it gets...
Right. It'll be interesting to see how it works, working directly with these two trade unions versus against them, like you said, these overarching authorities.
But to your first point, it sort of ties back with Director Gonzalez's point. If once you've hired somebody from a community, your goal is to keep them employed in your company.
What happens at the next community?
Well, but if they, I assume there's some attrition in these companies, right? I don't know what it would be, but...
Well, attrition in the companies and the communities, right?
Well,
which is the other point, that somebody
it's
grew
not
up
a,
in certain
I mean, you're a pool down. Of worker for a region. You're really not, it's not for an area. So you want to get in that regional pool and not think of the community pool. Right. I know that's...
And I guess all I'm saying is that if you're a contractor, a certain number of your employees leave you at some point. If what you're doing is retaining the guy who lived in Englewood, even though he now lives in some...
That's your Jimmy Northern.
Right. So there still is an opening then, so when you go out to Woodlawn and you're working on a project, you can hire people from Woodlawn. I guess we should think about it as not a zero.
You've got to look at it in levels. You mean at an unskilled level coming to a certain position? Yes. At a more highly skilled, you know, trades level, it may take, you know, I've only got, for instance, about 1,200 licensed train operators in the region.
Uh-huh.
So the openings are fewer. The transition through the process is 5 years to get trained, and uh-huh. You're probably in for 30. So it's a slow turnover on those high-end, highly skilled positions. Mm-hmm. So you know you've got to give the contractor the ability to move guys in that are highly trained. That those guys don't turn over. You know, if you're running the paving operation or the grinding operation for any of these contractors, seasonally you come back every year to those contractors. You know, there's a pool of guys that, you know, may bounce around for the boom bust cycle, but they keep a core group. They try to keep a core group. So that core group, you know, may have meant they hired an African American over here on the Transit Authority project. You can't say to them, I can't bring this kid I just spent 5 or 10 years training over to this project.
Right.
Or he can, but it doesn't count. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know how you get around that, but that's the problem for the program. And they're trying to do the right thing, but you're saying to them, well, bump that guy out and bring somebody else
right.
in.
Well, another issue to address.
Well, I think that we've got a resolution on this agenda to, you know, approve this program, which would continue to be refined, but sounds like what we've heard is we need to put in some incentive for retention. The retention should not, though, just be linked with also where they live, right? They should be able to, once in the program and, you know, as an individual, if they move outside of this particular area, they don't somehow lose their...
The tollway is a perfect example of an agency that covers such a broad region,
right,
that those workers work with, for instance, a K-5 or a LORC will move in that whole region with them, you know.
Right.
So they're in your whole, you know, they're part of your overall 20,000 foot view of, are they meeting our goals?
Right.
And make it more regional is what I guess I'm trying to say.
So I think that, you know, we worked very closely with legal on what we can legally do, also in creating a program that we thought was, you know, a good first step of a community-based program. Again, race and gender neutral, but a community-based program targeting communities around, you know, a project that everybody has high expectations for bringing economic development into an area. It sounds, I think we've heard some good feedback. I'll be anxious to see how the IDOT partnership works, frankly. Because we've all had experience with these before, but I think it's very interesting and innovative to partner with specific unions, because that'll be very helpful in driving some progress. But, you know, creating something, maybe we can include, and I don't know if the resolution would necessarily need to be amended. I wonder if this can dovetail somehow with the Earned Credit Program.
Well, you know, curiously, as you were having this conversation, I was thinking about the Earned Credit Program, because recent feedback we have received from some of our community partners and other stakeholders on the program has indicated that we need to strongly consider the possibility of having those credits follow the individual as opposed to just staying with the company that initially hired him. And this is very much in tune with what this conversation today. And we really, I think we seriously have to consider that change in our process and procedures to have, really, we're doing it for the benefit of the individual, really. So to have these credits follow that person might at some point make more sense. So yes.
So I don't think we can really address the concept of retention, but we were very anxious to try to at least allow people to get their foot in the door, to show this is what I can do, this is the type of work I can do. And as Director Sweeney mentioned, you know, the construction work is transient just by nature, because we work in an area where it's difficult to keep them employed 12 months out of the year, because we only work, you know, construction for a short time. But I will say, with the pilot program for 294.57, we're talking about the through 2014. So if that's, you know, too temporary, you know, maybe we need to adjust or think about, you know, something more beyond that. But still, that's a pretty good chunk of time there, you know. We wanted to get it into the 2012 work, you know, so that it could be out there, because all those contracts that we've awarded for 294.57 are going to carry through at least through 2014. That's when they're going to complete all this major work.
Like you said, the program, yes, but the retention portion is what I was talking about,
right,
being
problematic,
you know,
so your point
from
is
from a commitment point of view.
Your point is, what are you doing with those people, let's say after 2014? I mean, do you want them to have a career or just a 1.5-2 year job? That's your point.
Well, I'd like them to be able to be qualified or credit, you know, be able to be used at like a Chicago,
right,
Transit Authority project.
Got
as well.
And for there to be, though, some credit given for that 30% goal,
yes,
or whatever might be
that's
created there.
It seems to me it's a two-part problem. The one problem is that people move, and the second problem is that projects are in different places. Right?
And governed by different...
By different agencies.
Agencies,
yeah.
And oversight and goals themselves, right?
Could I go back to slide 7 for just a second? You don't put
slide
it
slide 7?
Back up, which is the third RFP to provide training for community groups. I don't want to run afoul of the Purchasing Act, but I wonder if our board members would be helpful in either circulating the RFP to their communities or conversely giving you names of groups that might be interested in bidding for it in the regional areas that you have.
Certainly, when we're ready to put it out, it won't be until later this year, because again, we have these partnerships already in place. But when we put it out, we can certainly do that.
Okay, good.
That's not a problem.
Thank you.
So, what have we determined on community hiring, just so we're clear? Do we think that we can somehow make a link here with the Earned Credit Program and do anything with credits to encourage longevity? I just don't think, honestly, some kind of clawback of the wage stipend. Frankly, I don't think it's going to be very attractive to contractors, and I think you're going to have very few people who would want to participate in something like that. And the headache of it, honestly, more than anything. So what do we think that that's a possibility? Or I don't want to misrepresent, and I also don't want to misrepresent the impact that we think this is going to have. This is not going to be tens of thousands of people. You know, this is going to be, I think, an impact on certain people's lives. Maybe, you know, 100, less than 100, you know, a handful. We're not sure. I think we'll learn more over the next couple of years. But it's, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's meant to be a pilot so that we can learn something. Do we think we can link something with the Earned Credit Program?
I certainly think that there is a worthwhile concept to have to find ways to gain synergies, the local hiring and the ECP, to find a way to link them. So I think we're very willing to explore that and find ways to link them. Absolutely.
Okay.
So I selfishly, I really want to implement it with the work that's going to start very shortly here.
I would like
so if we can make that connection and build it in, or even if it can come, you know, following this initial introduction, that's fine too, right?
With a future revision.
Yeah. You know, or, you know, it sounds like, you know, going into the program, we wanted to create, it's a voluntary program, so we wanted to create a pay item or an allowance within those individual contracts to say, if you choose to participate in this program, here's, you know, we will incentivize you to do this, because we're asking them to do this, you know, beyond their normal, what they might do. So, you know, if we give them something after the fact, and we say, you know what, we're going to actually make this even more attractive to you, we're going to link it to ECP, you know, that's probably fine. I mean, that can follow this initial step.
So yeah, we'll have to I just want to make sure we've vetted, but I think that something that creates an incentive for retention of, like, say, up to 3 years, you know, mirroring maybe that federal program, or finding some, you know, maybe the ECP program, which I think is a longer retention time frame, is something that you're interested in seeing built in.
So can we get consensus that we'd like to go ahead with what is proposed now to get this going right away, so we don't have to miss this construction season, and we'll build in the question of how we think about retention over time?
I agree with Director Sweeney that, you know, the community hiring program, we shouldn't be just looking at, you know, hiring within a community only because that certain project is in it. Like in the South Suburb, which is right now like the 294-57. What we're looking for is minority hiring throughout the region, as Director Sweeney said. So it's not so much that community because that project is there, because there's a lot of minorities that could go up and work at the Elgin O'Hare today. They've got access to transportation. I made it to work in Downers Grove this morning.
So it's
regional. It's just not just that we're looking for, just because one project is there, therefore that's just the one thing that we're going to look at.
We're looking for throughout
this whole expansion program.
We're trying to make sure that we are race, gender neutral to the extent possible under the law,
right,
and also to figure out how to reach populations that we may not have reached before. So I think that's what the goal of this is, and this is what we'll try to work on, and we'll come back with more specifics as we work through it.
Okay.
I just suggest one thing. I find it interesting. There's a lot of expertise on the board in certain areas of this discussion or whatever. I was just wondering whether it would be fruitful, given the time concern or constraints, to just set up a meeting time, kind of had an ad hoc committee type situation or informal setting where members of the board who want to discuss this further could actually get together with staff and others, and maybe.
Well, I think we would love to do that in a committee structure, and then of course the additional board members can always attend any committee meeting.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to do it in either finance or strategic planning. I think we've done joint committee meetings of those before to discuss diversity efforts. We'd be happy to do that. I think that something like that would be very helpful. Then we can do the appropriate noticing and everything else that we're required to do through the Exact. and then have a discussion and continue to keep you updated.
No, I think it would be good just to have an early opportunity to get
more input
at length early on and then go from there.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that all the board members, if they're not members of those two, either of those committees, and will know about it and attend it. Thank you. And it is very helpful to have the expertise. New crane operators needed to be trained up. I do know.
I'm going to bring you to our training center.
I would
I'm going to do an outing.
Okay, I'll do that. I want to bring members of my family.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I just have one more item just to let you know that, as you know, we've been trying to pursue some efficiencies in our electrical and energy system and the way we procure energy. Right now, the tollway has 339 electrical accounts across the tollway system. So we are going to be looking, hopefully, to consolidate some of those if possible. We are expecting to create more than 300 new accounts with the Move Illinois program. So as you can imagine, that's a significant amount to manage. We actually are going to be, I think, looking to transition to procure electrical energy through some of these aggregated rates that we're seeing with municipalities around the region. We think it's going to save us money as well as, you know, create some efficiencies in the management. So Jeff and his been working on that, Jeff Redding in operations. We project that this will save the tollway somewhere between $130,000 and $550,000 a year, you know, based on the rates that we're seeing out there versus what we're getting through the master contract that we currently are part of with CMS. So I wanted to make you aware, because those are, you know, just basically us being brought into these municipal rates, we'll certainly keep you posted as that transition happens, but these might not be separate agreements that are brought to the board, because they are municipal aggregation accounts.
Do we have to fight with CMS to get out? Never mind.
Nothing is ever.
We will have a compatible discussion. Okay. Anything else or any questions on Christy's report? Thank you, Christy.
Thanks.
Then we can turn to the consent agenda. Let's start with finance. I think, Director Peterson, do you want to drive this ship, or do you want to just...
I think we had one item that we didn't have on committee that Mike's going to review for us, the bond indenture.
Okay. Item number two under finance is a resolution authorizing an amendment to section 719 of the trust indenture to authorize an increase in the minimum dollar amount of construction contracts that require performance bonds. Currently, all construction contracts in excess of $50,000 or more require the contractor to provide a performance bond. That's a similar limit set in state law, $50,000. There's been some discussion and I believe some legislation introduced to change that level. In order for us to increase the minimum amount of the construction contract requiring performance bonds, in order for the tollway to do that, we would need a similar change. If there's a change in state law, we need a similar change to our amendment, to our indenture, in the form of an amendment. So what we've proposed here today is the board's authorization to amend the trust indenture to increase the minimum threshold for these contracts to an amount consistent with state law, but an amount not to exceed $500,000.
I think we did some analysis, right? I mean, the $50,000 was set in 1958 for us, right?
$50,000 has been in existence as long as we've been issuing bonds.
Right. So, so we really did some analysis and have reached out to some of our trustees, is that right?
We have reached out to the trustee. This amendment would have to be approved or receive the consent of the trustee. We have reached out to the trustee and discussed this item. They have a committee that they need to go through to approve the item. I think that $500,000 is in the neighborhood of what we believe that they, somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000, they become comfortable with. And there are also some banks and other credit providers that also have to approve, but our expectation is that if the trustee is comfortable, that that's something that we should.
But I think we did some analysis that if you adjusted for the rate of inflation, $50,000 in today's dollars would be approximately just under you know, just under $500,000. So we thought that this is an appropriate case to make.
So does this mean that ours will automatically track with what law is passed, should the law pass, or does this mean that the trustee will set some amount consistent with the law, but not less than 50 or more than 500?
I think it's really the former. If the trustee approves the amendment as drafted,
then the General Assembly action would
trigger it, yeah, up to that cap.
And this may not ultimately pass the General Assembly. We've done some analysis that if our indenture threshold is lower than what's set in law, our indenture takes precedence. But, you know, the law or statute would take precedence to the extent that it was lower than maybe what we were comfortable with pursuing. So, but we thought it was particularly important now as we go out to the marketplace with new bonds that, you know, we're going to make this type of change, which we think is an important one, that we try to get it done for this round so that all of the new agreements can have the right language.
I could mention one other item. Similar in nature, but not on the agenda. There is another minor amendment that we're seeking to the indenture that clarifies that the Auditor General can select our auditor. Council has reviewed the indenture, they're comfortable that it's authorized under the indenture, but the Auditor General would like to see that specifically in our indenture. It is something that was actually authorized by the board years ago, even before
in
me.
1995, I think, right? In the 90s.
But we want to make sure you're aware of this.
Okay. Are there any questions on this one?
As we start unbundling contracts, and we know that it's been a problem with minority contractors, has performance bond been an issue with part of why they have trouble doing work at the tollway? Did that amount ever, because I thought that was one of the issues that they were having trouble with the performance bond.
Certainly is one of the factors. It's not the sole factor that prevents sometimes some of these contractors from being able to bid on tollway or say Hayat or even other projects elsewhere. But it is certainly one factor, and that's one of the reasons we are so closely following and partnering with the Illinois Finance Authority, because I believe that once that initiative is launched, it's going to bring a tool for a lot of contractors that currently just doesn't exist to be able to access bonding for these smaller contractors that you're alluding to refer.
So, would you agree that they're already having trouble meeting the 50,000, and that's why they're looking for assistance?
No, actually gives them some relief. Mm-hmm. So right now, for any contract that is 50,000 or above, a surety bond is required. This would set the threshold at 500 or above. So if they were bidding on 250,000 or 300 or $100,000 contracts, they would not have to, and it would not be they would not be required to have surety bonds. So this should actually provide relief.
This is the contract size, not the size of the bond.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't understand that. That's helpful. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Good. Do you want to take these two? Was there any question on the first one, the Mellon Bank?
I think the first one was approved in committee, and this one is new
okay.
to this agenda.
So now we're on the consent agenda. Do you want to take these two, or do you want to go?
I'll take them together.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So items one and two are approved. I'm sorry. Any objections or extensions? Okay. Thank you. We'll move to procurement. Are there any comments on the procurement items here? These went through committee. Just for those who are unfamiliar with our process, there is a committee process which we do very thorough review of these. Do you want to?
John, any highlights other than what I touched on earlier?
No,
if you want to go through.
Nothing else.
No? Okay. So you want to take items, make sure that we have no problems here. Items 1 through 11. Okay. I've got a motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Any recusals? Okay. Engineering? Are any of these things that we need to talk about?
One item is being is going to go through executive session because it concerns that deep end of the resolution, so we can't take that. The rest of them are, you know. And then we have a new item, the last item.
On item 22, there's a recusal. So we would want to not take item 17, and then item 22, there's a recusal.
And the new item, did you want to talk about?
And we're going to do that in executive. Is that the one you want to talk about in executive? No. The deep endetto?
That we will, but that's item 17, I believe.
And the new item?
Is 22, which I can talk about now if you want.
Well, we've spoken about it already, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything further that you want to add? This is the community.
Yeah, it's a community hiring incentive. And I was just going to point out that we were seeking your approval to move forward and actually develop and do some work on that and implement it.
Okay.
But it's going to require additional dollars to the construction contracts out there, right?
To provide
the supplement.
Yeah, if the board approves us to move forward with this, then we would be able to amend those contracts to include a new pay item, which would allow them to take advantage of this community hiring incentive if they choose to. It's a voluntary program, and you heard Gustavo say it's race, gender, and trade neutral. It is focused primarily at 290. It is focused only at 294.57. It's a pilot. And we would, through this, the way that we anticipated it would be implemented, we don't have all the details worked out, but it would be $10 per hour for any eligible employee is what we would incentivize.
And you expect the cost will be here?
The cost would be determined for each individual contract, so we would evaluate the size of that contract and the potential based on the type of work that's being done and what kind of workers are being utilized on that contract. It's not anticipated that it's going to be a very large dollar amount. I will tell you it would be within this each individual project's budget.
Within the budget, each one.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's try taking 1 through 16.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions, recusals? All right, we'll take 17 in the executive session, so then we'll take 18 through 22. Your motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions or refusals? Okay, thank you. Turn to legal.
Thank you. Legal has four intergovernmental agreements that were presented to finance last week, and then there's one item, number five, to discuss in executive session.
Are there any questions on 1 through 4? No? Okay, may I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Any refusals? And we'll take up number five in executive session. Is there any unfinished business that anyone would like to raise? Any new business? Okay, then. Liz, you want to read us the magic words?
Sure. Senior management would recommend that the board entertain a motion to move into executive session to discuss certain topics which are exceptions to the Open Meeting Act, including litigation pursuant to Section 2C11, personnel matters pursuant to Section 2C1, purchase of real property pursuant to Section 2C5 of the Open Meetings Act.
Okay. You want to take a 10-minute break? Is that 15 minutes break?
We have a motion and a second.
I'm sorry.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. We'll take a 15-minute break.
Excellent.
Are we on? Okay. We're back into regular session. We have two items being discussed in executive.
What's
up? Up in executive session that we want to have a formal vote on. One is the... both are under legal. One is one's under engineering, number 17, which is the amended Deep Benedetto Acton. Can I hear a motion on that?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any recusals? Okay, and then the other is the workers' comp item that appears as item number 5 under legal. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals? Okay, thank you all very much. Have a happy Easter.
Oh,
sorry. Peterson moves to adjourn.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All of you. Anybody want to say?
Leave.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.